Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Welcome to this Let the Bible Speak broadcast. We welcome you in the Saviour's name, and we trust that you'll be blessed as you worship with us in this way in your home, and as we look at the Word of God together. Before we read the Scriptures, we will just simply bow in a word of prayer and ask for God to help us and speak to us from His Word. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in the Saviour's precious and all-prevailing name. We're thankful, O God, for the blood shed for us at Calvary, and we praise you, Lord, for the application of that blood to our hearts and souls. And we pray for ourselves as we consider the Word of God, as we look into what it would say to us tonight, and we simply pray that you will come and speak to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to read the Scriptures from a few places today. Firstly, from Isaiah chapter 59, we want to consider the subject of the spider with you. So we read of the spider in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 5 and 6, where we read, "They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works." The spider is also spoken of in the book of Proverbs, and in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 28, we read, "The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces." Amen. And we'll just end our reading there at the end of that verse. We're now going to sing, "Only a Sinner Saved by Grace." In today's message, we're going to look at the spider in the Bible, and we read of the spider in three different places in the book of Job and also in the book of Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 59, we read in verses 5 and 6, "They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Verse 6, their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Also in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 28, we read, the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. I'm sure that you remember well the atrocities of about 6 or 7 years ago, whenever there were the terrorist attacks by ISIS. And of course, ISIS, they came and they struck a number of cities. One such city was the city of Brussels. On March the 22nd, they struck Brussels. They attacked the railway station and also the airport in that city. And there was a photographer. Her name was Feda Grilovic, and she was actually in a camp in Greece, in a refugee camp, and she was taking pictures in and around the time of these attacks and these atrocities. And one of the pictures that really stuck out in my mind, as I can remember very vividly that incident, that happening, was when she was in this refugee camp, there was a picture of a little boy, and he was holding up this picture, and the picture simply said, "Sorry for Brussels." And she also took a picture, and it was all over the news, of a little child, a little one. And again, there was the T-shirt this time, and the T-shirt actually said, "Sorry for Brussels." And those pictures, they explained, they conveyed, they displayed so much more than any words ever could. And I'm sure you'll agree with me that there are some times that a picture does that. A picture, it simply conveys, it states, it explains far more than many words, far more than 1,000 words. There was actually an emperor in China about 4,000 years ago, and he coined that old saying, a picture speaks 1,000 words. That's so true in society, that's so true in normal life. And I believe that God actually has created us that way where we picture things in our minds. And because we can picture those things, then they speak to us. And that is why he speaks to us in the Bible, and he speaks to us very often in picturesque language. Very often he uses pictures to speak or to convey 1,000 words. For example, he takes animals. The animal, for example, the lion. And of course the Bible tells us that concerning the devil, he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Also, you think of the book of Proverbs that we have even read from in our reading today. The book of Proverbs is full of pictures. You think of the animal in Proverbs chapter 6, the ant. And the ant, of course, there's a few verses there from verse 6 onwards. And that too, that gives to us the picture of industry, the picture of labour, the picture of hard work. And here in Isaiah chapter 59, and also as I've said in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 30, God, he is using another picture to speak 1,000 words to us. He is really using the picture of the animal, of the spider. And particularly in Isaiah 59, the spider's web. The context here in Isaiah chapter 58, God, he is telling him to cry aloud, verse 1, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions. God, of course, called Isaiah. Way back in Isaiah chapter 6, he called him into the prophetic office, and now he is telling him to cry aloud. To cry aloud, to literally lift up his voice, and to sound it forth like a trumpet, and show God's people their transgressions. Well, what was their fault? What was their folly? Well, really, it was hypocrisy. If you look at chapter 58 again and verse 3, there you see that they were religious outwardly. They had external morality, external religion. Verse 3, therefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge. God's people here, they recognize that the judgment is coming. And what do they respond to God? Well, they simply say, do you not see, Lord? Do you not see that we're fasting? Do you not see that we are afflicting our souls? You see how it's stated there, verse 3. Say they, thou seest not. It's as if they are literally wagging their fist up to God. And they're saying, look, we're doing all of this. And it's as if you don't even see, Lord. So they're pointing to their external religion. And in chapter 59, in spite of this external, this outward form of religion. Isaiah here, he takes his voice, he lifts it up like a trumpet, and he shows them what they are really like. Chapter 59, verse 3, your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, tongue hath muttered perverseness. He's saying, yes, you may point to your works, you may point to your deeds, you may point to your external performances and your fasting and your praying and your lifting up of your hands to God and so on. You may point to all of this. However, this is what you're really like. This is what you're really like. Inside, my friend, inside, you're rotten. Inside, you're full of sin. Yes, you can have all of these trusts externally, and yet internally, they were corrupt. And the fact that they were trusting in their works, in their external and their outward performances, Isaiah then takes up this picture in chapter 59 in verses 5 and 6. And he essentially likens it to a spider's web. And he essentially is saying, look, it's all flimsy. There is no substance to it. It is hollow, just like a spider's web. And for a few minutes just today, we want to think about the spider here in Isaiah and also the book of Proverbs, as we learn some gospel lessons from the spider. In verse 5 of Isaiah 59, we see the work of the spider. The work of the spider. Verse 5 of Isaiah 59, they hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. I'm sure you'll know that the vast majority of spiders are small. The vast majority of them. Some of them are a little bit larger, but most of them are small. And they're really not that strong a creature. And they're really nothing to be afraid of. Yes, there are some of them that, yes, they may bring fear, they may strike fear into the heart, and maybe you're listening to this and you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm afraid of spiders, but let's face it. When you compare the spider to a bear, or you compare the spider to a lion, well, really, there's nothing to be afraid of. It peels into insignificance. But the reality is this, is that the vast majority of spiders are animals of prey. I say that because they survive off other animals. Different spiders, they hunt in different ways. The wolf spider, for example, it hounds down its victim like a wolf. It chases it like a wolf would its victim. The jumping spider, however, it stalks its victim. And then when it finds its victim's close, it then just kind of jumps onto it. But you know, the vast majority of spiders, how do they catch their prey? Well, they weave a spider's web, as we read up here in this verse, verse 5. And I don't know if you've ever looked at a spider as it weaves its web, but it does it in a very interesting way. It weaves the web, starts from the inside, works its way outside, and then once it's finished, if you look at it carefully, it actually traces its web again. It almost looks like it's redoing its work. What's it doing? Well, it's actually lacing it with what's known as a catching surface. That makes the web sticky. And what you find is then, the animal, the bumblebee, the fly, the little insect, whatever, what does it do? Well, unsuspectingly, it comes near to the web, and it then is caught by the sticky substance, the catching surface. And Isaiah, he uses this image of the spider spinning its web to describe the sins of Israel. What he's really saying is this. He's saying that it would bind them up, as it were. Just as the spider would bind up its victim in its web, so as they continued on in their sin, and they persisted on in their trusting in their outward religious rites and so on, it would be like weaving a spider's web. The more they did this, then the more it would entangle them, the more it would imprison them. It didn't matter their fasting, their spreading of their hands to God. The reality was that the more they sinned, the more they became ensnared in that sin. This is what sin does to you, my friend. Sin doesn't set free. It imprisons. It brings you into bondage. And the more you try and struggle through your own effort and your own attainment and your own trying, then the more you will find it brings you into bondage. It's like the spider and it's weaving its web, and the victim, it just gets caught in the web. You take, for example, one sin. Let's just look at one sin for sake of time. You think of lying. You lie once
And then to cover up the consequences of that lie, you end up telling another lie and another lie. And before you know it, you're caught, as it were, in a tangled web of sin. You become ensnared and in bondage to that sin. In the book of John, the Lord Jesus Christ, he states in John 8 verse 34, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." The term servant there has the idea of a slave. You commit sin, you become a slave to sin. Oh, the spider. The work of the spider. Think with me secondly about the weakness of the spider. Verse 6 of Isaiah 59, "Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works." It seems that God's people here, they understand, because of their persistent centuries of sin, they understand that judgment is coming. But the response to that, the response to the knowledge that some form of judgment is coming, was simply to trust in their works, as we have already seen. And Isaiah, he kind of blows this to smithereens, because he essentially says that their trusting in their works, it was like weaving a spider's web and actually taking that web and using it as a covering, as a garment. That's what verse 6 is stating here. "Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works." It's as if they're literally trying to cover themselves, cover their sin through their works. And the image is very humorous here, actually. It's as if Isaiah is nearly poking fun at them. It's as if he's saying, you take a spider's web and you try and literally cover yourself. You make a garment out of that spider's web. Of course, the spider's web's flimsy. You would say, what utter nonsense. What folly. And yet, this is what they were trying to do through their works. He's saying, this is how silly it is. This is how shallow, how futile your works really are. It does not, cannot, and dare not cover their sin. Perhaps you're doing that today. You have knowledge of your sin. You know fine well. You know that you sin. You sin using these, your hands. You sin using your head. And of course, then you sin within here. You sin in your heart. Try to do good. Try not to sin for just even half an hour. And when you run your eye down through the Decalogue, you'll discover just how sinful you really are. As Paul states, the exceeding sinfulness of sin in the book of Romans. You'll see how corrupt you really are. And perhaps, in spite of that, you're pointing to what you do. You're pointing to church attendance. You're pointing to good deeds. You're pointing to the many things that you have done which are good, fine and right and proper in their place. And yet the reality is, it's so flimsy. It's like a spider's web. You know, a spider's web, yes, can catch an animal, can catch a bumblebee, can catch a fly. But you know yourself, a little breath, even from a human, a gust of wind, a very small gust of wind, and the spider's web, it's just blown. And that's just what these people were doing. Oh, they were trusting in their works. And Isaiah said it was just like weaving a spider's web. Job, he speaks of this in Job chapter 8, verse 40. "Whose hope shall be cut off, whose trust shall be a spider's web." Perhaps that's you today. It's work, it's weakness. And yet, lastly, look also at the wisdom of the spider. In Proverbs 30, verse 28, we have this lovely picture. "The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces." We've seen the other two references in the Bible concerning the spider. They're negative. Job and Isaiah speaks of the spider in a negative way. And the spider, it's a wise creature. And that's Proverbs 30. That's what it's doing. It's highlighting different creatures that are wise. The coney and so on. They're wise creatures. And the point here is this, is that the spider, yes, it finds itself in dusty locations and grimy locations. Yet even the spider, Proverbs 30:28, it's in king's palaces. Even the spider, when it makes that conscious action to leave its dusty and dirty and grimy location, even the spider can be found in the palace of the king. I'm sure if you were to go to Buckingham or some palaces today, around the world, yes, they may be very, very clean, but if you were to maybe go to a corner of the room or some room or whatever, you'll maybe find a cobweb. You see, even the spider can find itself in the king's palace. And in an earthly sense, if even the spider can find a home in an earthly palace, then surely, my friend, there's hope for you. If you, like the spider did physically, if you spiritually turn from the dirt and grime of your sin, and you make your way to Jesus Christ, who of course is now in heaven, and made sacrifice for your sin so that you can completely cover your sin, then surely if the spider can be found today in a king's palace, and my friend, as you rest and trust in Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, and you trust in His sufficient sacrifice for your sin, then surely it could be said of you, as it was said in Proverbs 30 verse 28, even you, my friend, can be found in the king's palace. Psalm 45 speaks of heaven as really in the language of the palace of the king. Psalm 45 verse 15, with gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. They are there with gladness, with rejoicing. Speaking of God's people being united to Jesus Christ and then with Him in heaven, they are in the king's palace. My friend, if you but turn from your sin, like the spider, turn from the dirt, turn from the grime of your sin, and may you make your way to that which is pure and that which is lovely. You make your way to the king's palace, to Jesus Christ, then my friend, surely if there's hope for the spider, there's hope for you. I trust that these simple lessons from the spider in the Bible will be used to the salvation of your precious soul. Let's just bring our time before God to a close in prayer. Father, we thank you for these lessons, these simple lessons. We thank you, Lord, that indeed, whenever you paint a picture, may it certainly speaks a thousand words to us. We thank you, Lord, for painting this picture of the spider. How, O God, even the spider can be found in the king's palace. We pray today that if we're resting in something else other than Jesus Christ's work, we pray, O God, that like the spider does physically as it makes its way from its current location to the palace of the king, we pray that spiritually, that Lord, we'll turn from sin, make our way to the king's palace. So bless us, O God, speak to us, save us if we're not saved, lead us on with yourself if we're a Christian, and bless the word of God to our hearts. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.